Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gann, alongside Jeremy Espy. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/ PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show, and we will read them on the air if you send them at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. Jeremy?
Paul.
How are you?
About to congratulate you on another year, on another new year. I know new things are starting for you every day.
New things are starting for everybody. Every day is a new thing, a new day for opportunity.
You sound like Celine Dion.
To make things happen, and hopefully we can make some things happen today on this show. We're scheduled to be joined by former NFL safety Benny Thompson. Benny spent many years with the Saints and Chiefs, Browns and Ravens. And Benny's going to talk to us about the AFC. We're going to talk AFC football as the NFL football season is about to start. And a couple weeks from now, we will be talking NFL football for the next 3 or 4 months. And it's going to be an exciting time of the year. Some will say it's the most wonderful time of the year. I will say the NBA playoffs is the most wonderful time of the year. But the NFL is also a good time of the year. But we also will be talking to Benny, and Benny will give us his opinion on the AFC and how he sees it going down in this upcoming NFL season. And it's going to be a season of a lot of anticipation, a season of excitement and suspense. And in the NFL, you just don't know from year to year who is going to take that next step, who is going to fall. You just don't know sometimes, and it's a very tricky league. Parity seems to reign in the NFL. Well, last year,
well, no better example of that, Paul. No better example of that. I got to get my digs in early, Austin, as they say. You know, it looks like your boy D Mac. Hope he's not missing game one because statistically that may hurt you.
Well,
but you never know
that he may miss game one. But now I'm hearing that he should be fine for game one. So statistically, that should be A-OK. And he will be back next. I think he'll be back for game one. I mean, let's be real. It's a national TV game against the Dallas Cowboys, Redskins-Cowboy rivalry. I mean, he's not going to miss that for the world.
So, I don't think he's missing that at all, but I think it's a telling sign that they're walking into a season already injured.
Well, I mean,
this is your man, Paul.
Injury prone, Mac Nabb.
There's no doubt about that. That he's my man, and he's a guy that, you know, I'm a big fan.
Dave McNabb, everybody.
Sorry. he's a guy I'm definitely a big fan of, and judging by some of the songs that I've recorded that I put on wax, this is a guy that obviously I'm a big fan of. A guy. And a guy that obviously I believe has a lot of football left in him. And the only way he can prove it is on the field. And we can talk all we want, but at the end of the day, it's what you do on the field. And I expect Donovan to have, again, a good year and a solid year and ultimately to watch the Redskins to the playoffs. I expect that to happen. I really do.
Oh, I'm I'm just listening, Paul. I'm sitting around. I'm listening to you just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. So, I mean, I think
for you, McNabb,
the key now to me is not just going to center around his team, but you know, he's old. He
seemed to be getting tired, and he can't even. He's done for the shelf the preseason, so he's becoming the new Brett Favre. And can he run the whole season on an offense that is certainly not it's certainly not the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, he obviously does not have the weapons that he has in Philadelphia. There's no doubt about that. But I think also he's still a guy that can obviously make plays, and a guy that I think he has enough to make plays. I think he has enough ultimately to get this team to the playoffs. I'm really doing. He's got a lot to prove, Mike Shanahan, a lot to prove. Albert Haynesworth on some level, a lot to prove. Guys like Larry Johnson, a lot to prove. So you got a lot of guys on roster with a lot to prove. And that usually bodes well. When you have a lot to prove, usually you go out and try your darnest to prove it. And I expect that from McNabb. I expect that from Shanahan. And I actually expect that from Albert Haynesworth when it's all said and done. I mean, we can talk about all the mess that he went through this offseason in terms of the practices and the mini camps and all that other junk. But at the end of the day, it's what you do on the football field. And I expect him to do big things on that football field for the Washington Redskins. I really do.
Well, I hope for your sake it can happen. I mean, it seems like you and I will certainly be NFC East-centric between the Eagles and the Skins, but, I don't know. A lot was made about the Colts' second game, and I think I watched this weekend, this week so far, about McNabb, and in all seriousness, this is the bet aside, so to speak, Paul. If I were a betting man, I don't know, one hard hit by McNabb, it should be interesting.
Well, I mean, one hard hit on any quarterback, on anybody, and that could be it. So, I mean, that's just the nature of the position, the nature of the game. But we'll just have to see what happens with Donovan. But I think he'll be all right. I really do. And we will talk at the AFC, obviously, today with Penny Thompson, but as I look at the NFC right now, and look at the NFC East. Now look at the Eagles specifically. I see a team that's going to take a drop. I think they will take a drop going into this season. I really do. And I'm just looking and I'm looking at their schedule. And if you look at their schedule, I mean, initially I was thinking, okay, maybe this team will go 8-8, 9-7. But when I look at their schedule, I see Green Bay on that schedule. I see Atlanta on that schedule. I see the Colts on that schedule. I see the Vikings on that schedule. I see the Titans, who I think is going to be an improved team on the schedule. The Niners, who many believe in San Francisco, will be an improved team. So when I actually really went through the schedule, I mean, Green Bay is a game that, if you look at the Green Bay Packers, they're a team who's put up a lot of numbers in this preseason, a team that many expect to take that next step with Aaron Rodgers. So if you look at Green Bay, that's a game, that first game of the season. If you look at that game, it's the link, but Green Bay is a team that's going to be tough to beat. So if you look at Green Bay, maybe you probably figure that you chalked it up as a loss. At Detroit, maybe a win. At Jacksonville, maybe another win. They have Washington at home. I think Washington beats them. They're 2-2 at that point. They go out to San Francisco. I think they become 2-3. They have Atlanta here at the link. I think Atlanta beats them. I think they go 2-4 at that point. You figure Tennessee. Yeah. At Tennessee, I think they're at 2-5. At the Colts, I think they're 2-6. At Washington, maybe even 2-7. The other Giants, maybe a game they'll win. If you look at it, I think they'll split. They may split the division. If you split the division at three games, you win there. But outside the division with the Packers and the 49ers and the Falcons and the Titans on their schedule, the Colts, the Vikings, and the Texans, which a team that will be improved, and also look at the Bears. I don't know about the Eagles in terms of the playoffs this year. I really don't.
Well, Paul, you and I think, to a certain degree, you have your slant on the NFL and the way the season is going to go. I told you, I think, especially in Tennessee, the entire league, to me, this year is a crapshoot. The only team I think you can certainly say year to year may have some consistency is the Saints, because they really have the same team. But if you look at the Saints last year to the year before that, well, they went from a non-playoff team to winning a Super Bowl. So I look at the landscape and I see maybe the Colts, because they're a year older in a revamped offense in terms of talent pool. But every team has, in a certain regard, in the last 2 years, really had a dynamic shift. And that is the new NFL, and that's why I consistently say, I mean, I don't really know how anyone can say divisionally or even from, conference-wise, where things are going to shake and shake out. And a great example of that is the whole conference, the AFC conference. I think it's totally in the AFC. Certainly, it's not New England anymore. There's a lot of arguments that can be made. The entire league is...
Don't discount.
Go ahead.
Don't discount.
Well, Paul, you can say what you want about them, but they're archaic. They're not old. They're archaic.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Who won the AFC East last season?
It was the Jets.
No, the New England Patriots.
Well, and that's great. You've proven again that you know they can win that. And Paul, I guess for me, and that's why I say, you look at just the same way you're looking at McNabb moving from, in terms of him leaving the Eagles, and now you've kind of anointed the Redskins, because now I have McNabb like a juggernaut, and you've also kind of relegated the Eagles to being has-beens.
I tell you, Paul,
unequivocally, you could say what you want in terms of New England. I watched two of their preseason games, thanks to the NFL Network, and 2 o'clock in the morning. But I can honestly say, and it is preseason, they are going to miss a very strong Wes Welker a lot. Their offense without Wes Welker is not going to be the same.
Well, we see that Wes Welker has made a return. How healthy he is, we'll see how the regular season shakes out, but the guy is playing.
Yeah, but Paul, you know as well as I do, it's a knee injury, and that injury historically takes 2 years. Period, point blank.
Well, an ACL injury is definitely a serious injury. Well, there's no getting around that. It's a serious, serious knee injury. But, I mean, we'll see how Walker does, but I think...
You're not concerned.
I saw a team in the preseason who could definitely score. I was a little concerned about their defense, but I saw a team that could score. And I think Moss has something to prove as well. He's a guy who wants a new contract. So I think he has something to prove. And I think Brady has something to prove, because I think sometimes we're in the offseason, we've been talking Jets. We've got the Hard Knocks thing going on. And we have all that. So you got the hype with that. You got Rex Ryan. You got all the Revis talking, all the other stuff. You got the Jets, and they made a run in the playoffs and got to the NFC title game. But many forget that this team, basically their last 2 games of the season against the Bengals, the Bengals basically were in the playoffs, so they took the game off. And then the Colts, Peyton Manning, he didn't play. He was taken out in that game, and so they won that game as well. So they benefited from basically 2 preseason games by the other team the last 2 games of the season. And many forget that. I mean, many forget that. And we always see is they're running the playoffs. But before that, this was a team that didn't look like they were going to make the playoffs. Rex Ryan even said it. I mean, this was a team that looked like they weren't even going to make the playoffs last year. And now all of a sudden, I mean, they have made some key additions in the offseason with guys like Antonio Cromartie. I mean, he's definitely a guy who was a great pickup for them. So they've made some pickups in the offseason. Chris Jenkins will be back. He's a guy that they missed a lot. So, and obviously I think Darrell Revis will be back, and I think they'll settle that situation. But, I mean, they brought in a lot of decent guys and strengthened their defense. Their defense is definitely better. And so I guess and also they added LT. They lost Thomas Jones, but they added LT. And that's LaDainian Tomlinson, excuse me. And so you added all these guys, and everybody's getting all excited. But at the end of the day, you still got to play the game. And so when you play those games, that's when we see who really is the best team. And they played those games last year, and I thought we look at the AFC East. We look at the AFC East. The best team in that division, regular season-wise, was the New England Patriots. So don't sleep on them. And also the Dolphins.
But Paul, well, oh, come on. The Dolphins had, they had their chance, Paul, but they lost some pieces. And they don't really have there's really no quarterback there.
Chad Henning. The young quarterback, the guy that they...
Young quarterback and having success is never really, in my opinion, in the NFL, either you're talking the new age NFL or the old school NFL, never been a recipe for success. It's aberration at its truest form.
Well, you're right. It's not, when you talk about young quarterbacks, and it's not a recipe for success. But they were a team that did go 7-9 last year. The team that when Chad Pennington went down, the team that Chad Henning took over, and he led them to a decent record. So many think that Chad Henning is the real deal and will take that next step. And Ronnie Brown with Ricky Williams as well, and they have some decent running backs with those two guys. So many, and their defense isn't bad either. So many think that team may take that next step. But if you look at it, I mean, the AFC East, it's not going to be an easy division. Definitely not going to be an easy division. Miami's going to be tough.
No, I think that division I think that division will move to be the most. And I had said that last week. That will be, I think, the hottest division in the actual, in the NFL next season. It'll certainly be the most competitive. And I think for a while, at least for the next 2 years, you can certainly see that league or that division, setting the tone.
You talk about the good divisions. I really like that AFC North. And you got the Bengals, the Ravens, the Steelers in that division, and you have the Browns. But anyway, you have those three tough teams. And Cincinnati is a team that I think has improved with the addition of Owens. T.O., I think he adds another dimension to that offense that already has a Cedric Benson and Ocho Cinco along with a Carson Palmer. And the tight end Gresham, Jermaine Gresham, they add, and also Jordan Shipley on the offensive side of the ball. So I think that's a team who won that division last year, was 10-6. I think that's a team that's a Super Bowl contender in my mind. And also you have Baltimore with that defense, and Joe Flacco, who's Joe Flacco's a good quarterback, and is an improving quarterback. So you have that, and you have the Steelers, of course. But my concern with the Steelers is Ben Roethlisberger and him missing maybe 6 games, maybe 3 games, maybe 4 games, depending on what happens with him and Roger Goodell. But I look at those first 4 games. Let's just say he misses the first 4 games. They have Atlanta at home. They have Atlanta at home. So that's a game. I mean, that's going to be a tough game with Leftwich in there. If you have Roethlisberger in that game, you'd say Steelers are definitely the favorite, but Roethlisberger will not be playing in that game. So you have Leftwich possibly there, or Dennis Dixon. There you go, at Tennessee, another tough game. At Tampa Bay, a game that they should win. And they have Baltimore at home. So I see 1-3 there. I don't know about you,
well,
but I
well, yeah, I mean, that's about the first thing this evening I think we'll agree on. I definitely think it's not going to be easy for them, but I think the bottom line is I think they have the right coach. They certainly have a long-term answer in their quarterback, and for them that's the important thing. Is you know, making sure that they can get things right rather than it turning around and it being the opposite where it was an injury. If they were to start, let's say, 3-1, I think they've been conditioned to know what they're walking into, Paul.
Well, and that's true too, because they know that Ben definitely will miss time, and I think you're right. They, on some level, they probably are conditioned and know that this is what's going to happen, and everybody's going to have to step up their play. But I mean, the best outlook with that schedule, those first four games, is maybe 2-2 at the best. But I can definitely see 1-3. I mean, Atlanta's going to be tough. I think the Titans are going to be tough. Tampa's a game you're going to win, more than likely. And Baltimore, obviously, is going to be tough. So 2-2 at the best, but I'm thinking more along the lines of 1-3.
And that's where I agree. I think there's going to be more. I mean, everyone could say what Dixon is going to be, what they think, or they can project this and see that. But I think as well, at the end of every day, you know, until it hits or until they know where things are going to stand, I hearken everyone to certainly think that they have the answer for a quarterback who's never played it down. He certainly knows coming in too. I mean, he's coming in for 2 days. For three games, so it's not.
More than likely, it's going to be Leftwich, but they're still up in the air. It could be Dixon, but Leftwich, with the problems that offensive line is having, he's a sitting duck. So if that line is not going to be solid, it's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue because he's a guy with little to no mobility.
So, yep. You
definitely got to get that line right. But Dennis Dixon the other night didn't have one of his better performances, threw a couple picks against the Broncos in the preseason game. And that's game three of the preseason. And that's basically usually the dress rehearsal for the upcoming season. So, I mean, obviously he didn't play too well there. But if you I think right now the Steelers are trying to get the suspension limited to three games. But I think if you look at it, if we're going with initially the suspension was 6 games, but it could be reduced to 4, and the Steelers are fighting to get it reduced to 3. But if you look at it, if he misses at least the first 4 games, that's a team that may get off to a 1-3 start. And that's not going to be good. That's definitely not going to be good. 1-3 start is not going to be good, and that's a team that has the Jets on their schedule, the Saints on their schedule. So some tough games on their schedule. And you don't want to start 1-3, especially in the AFC.
No, and there's no, and as you say, and I don't disagree, there's really no projecting out. You know, they start out 1-3, they may get behind in terms of their mental state, and that for that team doesn't matter who they really have at quarterback. I think they really
need to condition themselves for the first 3 games, probably more so than anybody. They have to make this work for them. They have to come out of that knowing potentially the odds makers say we're going, 1-3, but we have to come out of this going X, 2-2. They have to set that goal.
And they do. I mean, they do, at least. And if you're very optimistic, maybe 3-1. I mean, because you do have 2 home games, and maybe you steal one from Tampa Bay. Well, that's not stealing one from Tampa Bay. That's a victory you should expect. But maybe 3-1 if you're ultimately optimistic. Because, like I said before, they have Atlanta and they have Baltimore, both at home, and they do travel to Tennessee and Tampa in their first 4 weeks of the season. But Tampa Bay, like I said, is a game that they should win. But let me know what you think about the AFC and AFC football. Who do you see coming out the AFC? Is it the New York Jets, everybody's favorite team right now? Maybe it's the Patriots, the old guard. Or is it T.O. and Ocho in Cincinnati? Or is it Baltimore? So let me know what you think. And, of course, you know, we tend to forget about those New England, not the New England, those Indianapolis Colts, a team that was 14-2 last season. And a team that went to the Super Bowl last season, we tend to forget about them. So let me know what you think. The numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pecan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pecan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforth.gan@gmail.com. That's goforth.gan@gmail.com. So let me know what you think. AFC, who's coming out? Is it the Colts, Jets, the Patriots? Who do you think? Benny Thompson will stop by, former NFL safety, to give us the lowdown on the AFC and what's going on and how he sees the AFC. Like I said, everybody loves the Jets, so don't forget about the Colts. And please, please, please don't forget about Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and the New England Patriots. And I want to go back to Ben Roethlisberger for a second. apparently, the Steelers are in the process of trying to get that suspension reduced. They want that suspension reduced to 3 games, if possible. They want a shorter ban. So we'll see what happens. But there's a meeting scheduled for Friday with Commissioner Roger Goodell. And, again, the Steelers will push hard. They will push, 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 and push some more very hard to get that suspension reduced to 3 games. And I'm thinking, I mean, should the suspension be reduced? I think it should be 4 games, if anything. I was one who believed that maybe he shouldn't be suspended at all because he was a guy. Granted, he did some questionable things, but he never was charged with anything. So he never had that issue. And granted, some of the things were questionable. I mean, the behavior was not good behavior, obviously, and a behavior that NFL players should exhibit. But he was never charged with anything. And I think it's very dangerous when you start suspending guys on just allegations and not actual charges, because he never was charged with anything. So I think the suspension should be reduced to 4 games. I don't think he should.
Well, but I think the big problem there, Paul, I mean, I think it's going to be league-wide. And, I mean, whether – I have never agreed with you, but I can honestly tell you it can't happen because of the league.
Because then you set a really poor precedent. Like, it's basically now who are you in terms of how you're getting suspended? Is it – you know, are you on a good team? And if you're on a good team, then – we can cut you a break.
Well, obviously, like I said, I mean, if you look at
but you, Paul, you remember, this is the NFL. They have the there's.
They have said the NFL has basically said no team is bigger than us. So
right.
how are you getting away? How are you going to make that a reality?
And not only is no team bigger than us, but no player is bigger than us. As you run afoul of the law, if you do. Ben Roethlisberger didn't run afoul of the law. He's never charged anything. But if you do questionable things or exhibit questionable behavior, there will be some problems. There will be some problems. And right now, Ben Roethlisberger ran into some problems, and he could miss 6 games. It could be reduced to 3 games. It could be reduced to 4 games. But if you're a Steelers fan, you're really waiting and anticipating that big meeting on Friday with Roger Goodell, and you're hoping for nothing but the best. But
what do you think is going to happen? I'm actually
kind of curious, Paul. You think they're going to cave in?
Well, I mean, I don't know if do you view it as caving in, or do you say he's a guy that – I mean, Roger Goodell really had high praise for Ben Roethlisberger and saying that he was a guy that is doing everything right now, who's really going through the process and trying to get the help necessary. And, I mean, he praised the guy. So if judging off of that, you're expecting that the suspension will be reduced and that ultimately it will be reduced to three or possibly four games. I'd say four, but you know that the suspension will get reduced. I think the suspension will get reduced. But you view it as caving in?
Yeah, I think, you know, they come out and they say,
well, the reason I say that, Paul, is because I look around the league and then I say, well, basically then you've kind of set the precedent again that, well, if you're on a good team and it can help with your schedule, well, we can adjust accordingly. And furthermore, if you're on a good team and it looks like in terms of a PR standpoint, well, we can make us – it's a sham. They don't really then have these aren't very real, the suspensions. It's real only, you know, in the media. You're not getting a four-game suspension or an eight-game suspension. You're getting a so many odd-game suspension, but a maximum of this. So only an idiot now really loses out. You'd have to be – I mean, very few people are going to say, oh, well, you know, that guy was really that dumb. You agree, Paul. I mean, like, you if Goodell says, well, we're going to set it up so it's X, you have to be almost retarded to come away and not have the to not have that suspension be at its minimum. So get in trouble because they can bail you out.
Well, the way I look at it is, again, I'm a guy who believes that you can't suspend. I think it's a dangerous, dangerous precedent when you're suspending guys merely on allegations in a lot of ways. I mean, granted, I'm not saying that Ben Roethlisberger, his behavior was becoming of an NFL player. But let's be honest. I mean, there are NFL players and guys out there who do unsavory things, and anybody, all of us, do unsavory things out there. Obviously, I'm not doing some of the things that Big Ben was doing, and you're probably not doing them either. But what I'm saying is this. The suspension should be reduced. I don't think the NFL is caving in, but I do think the NFL, they are, obviously, they're laying down the law. And I think everybody's taking notice that they're laying down the law. And as far as I'm concerned, I think what they're going to do with the suspension, I think six games is excessive. I honestly think four games is a little excessive, but it is what it is. The situation is what it is. But if they reduce it to four games, I don't think they're caving in at all. I really don't. I don't see that as a cave-in. I really don't. I just see them as saying that this guy is doing the necessary things. He's doing the necessary things to change. So now let's give him an opportunity to make this right, and we're giving him that opportunity. We gave him that opportunity, and he's making some of these things right. So we gave him that opportunity, and maybe he has learned his lesson. Maybe. Let's take a caller. Caller, you're on Pro 4.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I agree with your comments. I think six games is definitely excessive, and I agree that four games is excessive. I think the NFL is opening a can of worms by starting to suspend people for allegations. Let's not forget, Mr. Roethlisberger was never formally charged of anything. So,
and that was my point. And that was my point. He never was formally charged with anything. And I think that's important for us to know.
Right.
And obviously, we've got a guy here in Germany who disagrees.
Well, but Paul, no, I mean, but you have to remember that they're not looking at it as what exactly or who exactly was charged. It's the conduct, and I mean that. I don't want to get into the argument of, well, did he do anything, or what did he do, or how did he do it? Because the NFL has clearly said it's not about, you know, are you guilty? It's much more clearly about what did your conduct do to the image of the NFL?
And that's where, you know, Goodell has made that, again, like you said, Paul, he's made it clear if you get in trouble, you're going to get suspended.
He made it clear it has nothing to do with getting charged with a crime. We're not going to, I mean, you agree, Paul, we're not debating that.
No, we're not.
So then it's hearing me, I mean, you just, and I appreciate, you know, you supporting
then myself and Commissioner Goodell, because it has absolutely positively nothing to do with the issue or the mindset of, well, there being a problem here. There's no problem.
But you're accusing them of caving in if they reduce the suspension.
But Paul, they are. I mean, they said, the only thing I'm saying is if you say it's going to be a 14 suspension, 16 suspension, 18, just say the amount of game it's going to be, and we can all move on. Let's not say it's going to be one thing and then another.
Right. Well, I don't view it as caving in, and we definitely thank the caller for his call, but I don't view it as caving in. I really don't. I don't view it as caving in at all. I don't see it as that at all. I just see it as a guy who did what he had to do in terms of all the things that Roger Goodell has asked for him, from him. And he's now he deserves to get that suspension reduced. I really do. We're now joined by former NFL safety, Benny Thompson. Benny?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Now, Benny, we've been talking about the AFC. Before we get to that, what do you think about Big Ben? Do you think that suspension should be reduced?
Well, the situation with that is that if he abide by all of the rules that the commissions have laid down for him, I'm sure they will be reduced to 4 games. But if not, he goes out and does something that he's not supposed to do again, no, it won't be reduced.
Right. It was just my contention that it will get reduced. I was just thinking.
Right.
You know,
if I was a betting man, I would say it will be reduced because he's trying to do the right thing. He understands that football don't need him. He needs football.
Right. Definitely. And he's definitely in. And Roger Goodell definitely made it clear that no one is bigger than the game. No one is.
Right.
If you do the wrong things, you're going to pay, and it's going to cost you some money, and it's going to cost you some time on the field.
Exactly.
Now, Ben, if you look at the AFC right now, a lot of talk is Jets, and you got the Hard Knocks going on, obviously, and that's adding to the hype, and you have Rex Ryan, and that's adding to the hype.
Right.
Do you believe the hype of the New York Jets?
You know what, Paul, I really don't. Because they got a team in their conference is probably licking their chops to play the Jets, and that's the New England Patriots. So I don't believe in all the hype that the Jets has got going on with them.
Well, that's interesting, Benny, you say that. Paul and I were having a debate right before you came on.
Mm-hmm.
My contention, I think New England, though, is they're creeping up there in terms of age, and one of the things that I think if you – and you being a former player in the NFL, I think can certainly appreciate is 1 year in the offseason for a player can be like 10 years for a normal person. You can go in with the best of intentions, and I honestly believe that New England on paper and in their mind, in their heads, is probably a championship caliber team. My question is the key injuries to the key players with their ages, and then you look at a defense that last year versus this year, there was no difference, and their defense was their worst enemy. They're giving up way too many points.
Well, I do believe in what you're saying, but at the same time, my theory on playing in the National Football League, I would take a veteran team any day before I would take a young and up-and-coming team to win. Because of the fact that veteran teams have guys on that team, like a Tom Brady, that will get their guys in and study film to where a young team, those guys want to go hang out, have fun, party. They don't study. I've been around it. I've seen it done to where the younger guys don't believe in studying. They just go out and let their athletic ability take over to where the veteran guys believe in, you know, on a Friday night at home studying, doing what it takes to win in the National Football League.
Now,
and that's why I like the New England Patriots.
And I agree with you. I mean, if you look at that division last year, many people forget that the New England Patriots were the team that won that division.
Exactly.
We all forget that. We all seem to forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the Jets, as far as I'm concerned, I'm very concerned about that quarterback position.
I am too.
I don't believe in Mark Sanchez. I really don't.
I don't either.
but Benny, you know what? Paul and I are. He's getting my goat. He's trying to get my goat. And why do you say that? I mean, hear me out before you answer. Here's a guy that comes from a team that is in the last decade has been known to produce a quality quarterback, and with a coach like Rex Ryan, their offense and their system is really not, it's not a West Coast offense. All they want to do is run the ball. They want to put on the board 17 points. You played in the NFL on those Browns teams, especially on those Chiefs teams, that had a big rushing attack, and they didn't need 30 points to win a game.
Right.
He's a quarterback that's not going to be asked, much like Ben Roethlisberger. When Ben Roethlisberger first came into the NFL, I look at him as a mini Roethlisberger in that he's not going to be asked to put 30 points on the board in a game. If he does it, it's great, but he's going to be asked to not lose the game. Just like if you certainly look down, you know, in Atlanta, and if you look at the younger quarterbacks where they're setting it up so that they just don't lose the game for the team.
And I know Rex Ryan's mentality, and Rex Ryan's mentality is probably the same as we had here in Baltimore where when we won the Super Bowl, where we told Trent Dilfer, just go out and don't lose the game. Don't try to win it, but don't lose it. Our defense will win the football game for us. That was our mentality here in Baltimore when we won the 2000 Super Bowl. And that's probably Rex Ryan's mentality in New York right now, to tell Sanchez that he cannot go out and lose the game, but don't try to win it on your own either.
And if you look at Mark Sanchez, I mean, you're asking him, yes, not just to control the game and be a game manager, but if you look at his stats, I mean, 20 interceptions. Turnovers can hurt a team. And
right.
20 picks is not acceptable. It's not acceptable
right.
at all. And I watch him in this preseason, and I don't see a guy who has improved. I mean, I'm not sold on the guy, and because I'm not sold on him, I don't think this is a team that is going to the Super Bowl. I don't see it.
Well, I don't either.
I don't believe
the
hype, just like you, Benny.
Believe it either. I really don't.
Let me ask you this then. Where do you see them going? How far, where do you see their record, especially in that conference?
Well, you know what, that conference, everybody understand that New England was the winner last year, and the Miami Dolphins are doing some pretty good things themselves in that conference, which is the AFC East. And I'm not sure right now if the Jets can beat either one of those teams. I'm not sold on it. I'm really not, because as Paul was saying earlier, that 20 turnovers, you don't win football games. You don't win football game by turning the ball over.
You're right.
Paul,
but
keep in mind that it's a different season now. If you're going to make that example, then I guess who projects the Saints to win the Super Bowl last year coming off the season they had? That's what I was saying earlier in the show, Paul. You can't – I think you can use stats to a point, but then they become this dangerous weapon in that, well, now you can – it's like we're going to be overly statistical.
I don't think we are here if you look at it. I mean, Mark Sanchez was not impressive at all. Really.
But, Paul, they have a running back. Paul, they have a running back this year. They have a running back this year that has a lot to prove. And a guy who – can certainly, you know, I think it's going to be hard to say. LT can come back and really, in terms of their offense, he could carry them.
Well, Benny, how much games do you think LT has left?
You know what? I saw a little bit of the Redskins game and the previous game before of him, and he looked like he still has it in him, unless it's something that he wants to go out and prove that, you know, San Diego made a bad decision by doing what they did with him. But once I watched him the last two or three preseason games, I thought he was pretty impressive. I really did. I like what I saw in him. And he looked like he had another good 2 or 3 years in him, really.
Now speaking of impressive, the Cincinnati Bengals, a team that won the division last year with a 10-6 mark, they added T.O., they added Jordan Shipley, they added the Jermaine Gresham, the tight end. They had a solid defense last year. Looking at that team and looking at the AFC North, and, you know, obviously you know the Ravens very well. How do you see the AFC North shaking out? Because I really like the Cincinnati Bengals.
You know what? I like the Bengals myself. But at the same time, I would not bet against the Baltimore Ravens because the Baltimore Ravens did some pretty good things themselves this offseason when they signed Antoine Bowen. So, and they added some other pieces to that offense that I was real impressed with, and that Ozzie Newsome have done a very good job of putting that offense together. But at the same time, if I was a betting man, I would have to say the Ravens would win it this year for the AFC North.
So you like the Ravens in the AFC North, even without Ed Reed? Ed Reed's a big playmaker. He makes a lot of plays.
Yeah, now, I really anticipate Ed coming back. I really look at it as Ed is a little pissed off right now, even though he's a little banged up. But at the same time, when it comes to playing football, football players tend to put things on the back burner. And I think that's what Ed is going to wind up doing because Ed is ready to play football. I understand he's a little banged up, but when it comes to playing football, players go out and play, you know, and Ed is one of those type of guys.
Well, I don't disagree. I think certainly he was not at all satisfied or happy with where, you know, these situations left him or the team. So I do, and they're dangerous every year in and year out, Paul. I think there's no denying that.
No, definitely. I mean, especially with that defense. I mean, with that defense, you always have an opportunity to win football games. But I just like that Bengals team. I just like the feel. I don't know. I just feel good about them.
Their offense to me is where I guess someone would have to come and show us both.
Like where are they or how are they not going to be an extremely dynamic team?
If you look at it, I mean, you got Cedric Benson, a guy who had a great year, and then you add T.O. to that. I mean, I just see it, I think that's the team to beat, the NFC North. And speaking of the NFC North, if you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, Benny, Ben Roethlisberger probably will miss the first 4 games. Do you think that's a team that will take a step back there?
I really do. I watched the Pittsburgh game the other night myself, and I don't think Byron Leftwich is the answer to what they're looking for. Until Ben come back, I think they will probably not be very good at quarterback. And I like the kid Dixon. I really like him, and from my understanding, he had a bad game the other night, but that's expected of him. He's a young guy. He's coming in, he wants to play well, and I think what happened to him was that he was trying too hard, as you can see, and he just didn't get it done. And I just don't see him and Byron Leftwich is coming back and making this Pittsburgh Steelers team the team that they're used to being.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. And also,
Benny, can they survive, in your opinion? Paul and I are saying probably a 1-3 start.
I would think so, yes.
Because we were looking at their schedule, Benny, and actually, I mean, they have Atlanta at home to start, and Atlanta's going to be a good team. They go to Tennessee. These are the first 2 games they could lose. They go to Tampa Bay, a game they probably should win, and then they have Baltimore at home. And that's their first 4 games. I'm thinking 2-2 at the best. That's the best you can hope is 2-2, but I actually see 1-3.
Well, I kind of lean towards the 1-3 myself because – as you know, I'm not a Steelers fan. I hate to say that, but I'm not a Steelers fan. But at the same time, I see them as being 1-3 without Ben, and I think Ben will be back after the 4th game.
And we gotta say this. I mean, you're a guy who played with the Ravens and the Browns, so it's expected that you would hate the Steelers.
Try not to use that word hate. I just dislike the Steelers.
Okay, it would almost be it's expected that you would hate, dislike the Steelers.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so if we look at it right now, in the AFC East, you got the Patriots winning that division, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, at AFC North, you have the Ravens winning that division.
Right.
Okay, let's go to the AFC South with the Colts, Texans, Titans, and the Jaguars. The Colts were 14-2 last year. I think the Titans are an improved team, and I also think the Texans are an improved team, but ultimately I do see the Colts winning that division.
I would never bet my money against that guy called Peyton Manning.
Right.
Probably one of the best quarterbacks ever.
It's very hard to bet against them. I mean,
right. Probably one of the best quarterbacks ever.
Right.
So I will take the in the AFC South, I will go with the Indianapolis Colts.
And they won 14 games last year, and this is another team that, for some reason, people tend to just forget. Maybe they've just been too good for so long that people just say, oh, it's the Colts.
Right. Yeah. But as long as they got that guy back there named Manning, how can you forget? Even though I like the Tennessee Titans, but I would just have to say that the Colts will win it. Tennessee has a real good football team, and Houston should be knocking on some people's doors as well. But I still see the Colts as being the winner of that division.
And I agree with you. Jeremy, you agree with him as well?
Oh, no. We talked and we were saying that earlier. I think definitively the Colts you're not going to see too many bad things happening for the Colts.
Now, we look at the AFC West now. And this is a division that some people say is a little wide open. You have the Chargers who are missing their tackle McNeil and their wideout Vincent Jackson, and so they're missing some two key pieces there, and Sean Merriman, he came in, but we don't know how good he's going to be this year. But if you look at the Chargers and their team that went 13-3 last season, and some people believe in the Raiders with the addition of Jason Campbell. If you look at the AFC West, Benny, how do you see that shaking out?
Well, I see that as this one's a little bit complicated for me. But I like the Chargers. I like the Chargers. But the Broncos,
even without those pieces.
Yes, because for some unknown reason, I believe that those guys are going to get in there eventually, and they will be the Charger that they've known to be. But the Broncos are the team that I think to beat in that conference this year, in that division. The AFC West.
Okay, so you think the Broncos are gonna take that next step in that division?
Right.
What about the Raiders with the addition of Jason Campbell? Do you think that's gonna improve that team?
Yeah, it would improve that team, but that team is so bad until they're gonna need about three or four more Jason for them to win that division. go to the playoffs if that matters. Because if you look at it, what happened if something happens to him, you know? They back to being the same rate they were last year when they had Russell.
We'll be Bruce Gradkowski, but again, no one to write home to.
Right.
So if we look at it now, that you got the Patriots in the East, the Ravens in the North,
right,
Colts in the South, and the Chargers in the West. Now we look at it now. Who's going to the Super Bowl in the AFC?
The AFC is tough, man. It is really tough. You got some of your best teams in that division. I gotta go with the Colts in there, with the Colts, the Patriots, and the Baltimore Ravens, the three that I would think will be my choice of Well, I picked the Baltimore Ravens to go to at least the AFC Championship to play maybe the Patriots or either the Colts.
Okay. So you got the Ravens and probably the Colts or the Patriots in the AFC title game.
Right.
So who's going to take that next step to the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I would think it would be whoever that team that plays against the Ravens, which I most likely will be probably the Indianapolis Colts. Again.
So you think the Indianapolis Colts will make a return to the AFC, to the to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Okay. Well, some still believe in that jet type. We got a guy here in Germany who believes in that jet type.
You know what? I haven't even watched the Hard Knocks that show, but not interested in it. But I mean, it's a lot of jibber jabbing, and I've always learned. My dad always told me this: an empty wagon makes a lot of noise, and that's what the Jets are, an empty wagon. They're just making a lot of noise, but it's nothing in the wagon. It's nothing there.
Well, but Benny, I can't. Your tenure only allows you to say that more so than Paul. My only thing with Jets, and I guess I'll disclaim being from Philadelphia and idolizing Buddy Ryan, I really do appreciate his son's Rex ability. I think he's a better coach. I think his mouth is actually his biggest problem. He loses a lot of people when he opens his mouth. And the only thing he gains, apparently, based on watching Hard Knocks, is a lot of weight, because it's just he would do best served to say less and let his team do more of the talking, which, a la the Super Bowl champion Ravens did under Brian Billick. Not a very flashy team, not a very flashy, a very humble coach, who I really used to, I used to think that he was more of a model than people, really knew.
Well, you have to understand one thing. I sit in those same meeting room as a player with Rex and as a coach with Rex. And that is just Rex's style, you know. He believes in stirring up the pot. And he believes if you can get underneath the other team's skin, you're basically going to win the football game. And I guess that's what he's trying to do in New York now. With his talking and from his players talking and you know, it goes back to his father's mentality, to be honest with you, you know. And it's not a bad mentality. It's just one that I don't prefer to deal with or to have. I'm kind of like the Tony Dungy of the situation. All of the F-bombs that he used, which I think is very unnecessary. But at the same time, I love Rex Ryan. I love him to death. But I just think that some of the things that he does is just totally unnecessary because of the fact that, you know, you're watching Hard Knocks and you have young kids watching and they're sitting there wondering why is this guy using bad words as much as he does. But that's just who Rex Ryan is. Like I said, I've sat in meeting rooms with him as a player and as a coach, and that's just who he is.
And so, but is that common language around the NFL?
Oh, definitely. I think for the TV, and Rex knows that they're on TV, they cut a lot of it down because they know they're on TV, but it's definitely common in the NFL, definitely.
Now, Benny, we got about another minute left, sir. We want to know what's going on with you now. What are you doing now?
Well, right now I am officially, as they call it, retired, and I'm do a couple of radio shows and TV shows here in Baltimore now, and just trying to keep myself busy.
That's good. And Benny, we definitely thank you for stopping by, sir. It was great.
I appreciate you having me, man.
We enjoyed your insight. We're going to keep you to the Colts and the AFC.
All right.
We'll keep it to the Colts and the AFC.
All
right. Thank you, Benny.
Okay, thank you, man.
Love to have you back, sir. Love to have
you back. Okay, just hit me up, man.
All right, take care.
All right, take care, too.
Benny Thompson, former NFL safety.
You really charmed him there, Paul. We'll get into that, though, on Saturday.
And I'm going to take that saying from his daddy that an empty wagon does make a lot of noise. And Rex and those boys... Maybe it's an empty wagon and it's just making a whole bunch of noise. But I want to thank Benny Thompson for stopping by. You can listen to Pan Show on Blog BlogTalkRadio.com/BeganWeeklyAdShows. Eagles, this show's well. Put your hands up.